Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We're presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200, of course, area code 505. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We've got another locally grown, locally owned guy here in Albuquerque. He's from Santa Fe, our good friend with the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, Mr. Vince Torres. How are you?
Great to be with you again, Jim. Thanks for having me.
I love to have you here, but I always want to record what we talk about before we go on the air.
Those are some of the best conversations.
We have these great conversations, and I think, oh, Vince, I shouldn't have had you say that because I want you to say that on the air. Hey, tell us a little bit about the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. A lot of our listeners have heard you. You're on fairly frequently. We're going to get you on more.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, Christian public policy organization. We lobby for life, family, and religious freedom. I consider myself to be basically a Christian voice, if you will, of justice in the halls of our state capitol. Spend a lot of my time there, working with our other allied groups, including Right to Life, Alliance for Life. And basically we see ourselves as soldiers, if you will, on the front lines of the political battle, for biblical values and specifically the life issue. So, it's an honor to be here today and always great to talk with you about the things that matter to me and my family.
Vince, you're a husband, you're a dad. Lobbyist advocate, I put, and a pastor.
Yes. Interesting combination.
That's amazing. I mean, how do you have, what is it? You need 25 hours in the day?
You know what? It really comes down to having an amazing wife. My wife is just a wonderful person, does such a wonderful job helping lead our home and taking care of our kids. Right now, homeschooling my daughter, taking care of my young son. So I couldn't do any of this without her. So shout out to Tiffany. She is my rock and wouldn't be here talking to you today without her.
Go Tiffany and go moms.
That's right. That's right.
Because especially during COVID, moms have just been amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's a lot of husbands out there that need to make sure they say that to their wives.
Most definitely.
And wives, you might mention to your husbands that you appreciate them too. I'm not an expert on marriage, Vince, but I sure do appreciate when I see married couples that love each other, dedicated to their families, are always constantly working on growing their relationships. In fact, on Thursdays, I've been interviewing couples, so I'm just making a note here that I'm drafting you and Tiffany here in 3 or 4 weeks to come in and talk about just being married.
We'd love that.
That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
Hey, a lot of resources available to voters on the Family Policy Alliance website. We're going to be talking about life issues today. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to be talking about assisted suicide. We're going to be talking about parental rights, education. Some of these kind of overlap.
Sure.
Because what's happening is a lot of the rights of parents are now trying to be removed so that you don't have a say in your kid's education. You don't have a kid. You can't talk about your children's desire to have a gender transferal or whatever you're going to call it when they're 15 years old. Just kind of different things that we haven't ever had to talk about before. We're going to talk about religious freedom. So what resources are available online right now so that people can prepare for the big election coming up November 3rd?
Yeah, one of the things that we really try to do is to just keep people informed, especially people of faith. And come election time, obviously, a lot of folks want to know where the candidates stand on the issues. They want to know what's before us, what's going to be on the ballot. And so we have several resources available, and some of them are not yet up, but they will be up this week and next week. We spend a lot of our time doing research and finding out where the candidates stand on specific issues so that we can then put out voter information. And again, that will be coming later on this week. In fact, I'll give a quick plug for a resource that we are going to be offering this week. And if you are not currently part of our email list, please go to familypolicyalliance.com and sign up for our email list, because we're going to be releasing later on this week our pro-life slate of candidates. And so we thought one of the easiest things that we can do to help people be informed on where the candidates stand on life issues is just simply to let you know who the pro-life candidates are on the ballot. And so we have the U.S. Senate race, we have the congressional races, but I think the most important resource that we're actually going to be releasing is where the candidates for the state legislature stand on the life issue, both the New Mexico House of Representatives and the New Mexico Senate. And this is extremely important because of some of the opportunities and potential challenges that we have before us, depending on the makeup of our state legislature. I know many folks are focused primarily on the presidential election, the federal races, and those are absolutely important as well. But a lot of people don't realize that what's brewing here in New Mexico in the legislature is just as important. In fact, I might say it's even more important in some ways. And so we'll be releasing that. It's a nonpartisan resource. There are Republicans on there. There are Democrats. There are even libertarians who stand for life. And we'd encourage you to take a look at that and use it when you vote this November, whether you vote by mail or in person on November 3rd.
Vince, it kind of takes some courage these days to stand up for life, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, you know, and it's becoming a little bit easier. Again, science is now catching up with what the scripture has long told us about when life begins. So it's not as difficult as, say, it was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. One of the things that we see now in recent national polls is that more people are now identifying as pro-life than, you know, even the generation before them. So it's certainly still difficult, especially in a state like New Mexico that has such a focus on abortion on demand. But at the same time, we are extremely thankful for those candidates who are willing to not just quietly say that they're pro-life, but to step forward and say, no, this is at the very top of my priorities. We want to be a state. We want to be a nation that fundamentally values life. So I'd encourage you to support all of our pro-life candidates from the very top of the ballot all the way to the bottom.
And that's why your website, when you first log into it, says life is on the ballot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, I've made this case, and some people may disagree with me, but that's okay. But I've said that, you know, abortion is such a scar on our nation's history, if you will, that in my mind, if there is one issue that should be at the very forefront of our minds when we cast our ballot, it should be the life issue. Just to think for a moment that we have basically created an industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry. We've supported it with political infrastructure that over the last 47 to 50 years, you know, going on 50 years, has successfully carried out the termination of entire class of people. And so if we claim to be people who love justice, in my mind, the life issue, the abortion issue, should be at the very top of our list. And if we're honest, we all have a single issue. We all have issues, and we prioritize them, and then we go and vote based on how we feel. For me, mine's life. And I make no apologies for that. And I'm thankful that, you know, there are many New Mexicans across the state who feel the same way, that when we vote this November, life is going to be at the very top of our list.
We're all familiar with the scripture that says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root of evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. So in other words, it motivates people to do different things. And I really think when you follow the money, that's one of the reasons that this is such a big deal.
Yes.
To Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood and abortions in this country really are big business, aren't they?
Absolutely. Planned Parenthood, I think the last time I checked some of the statistics, you know, they have almost, what, $2 billion in assets. They receive a little more than $500,000 every year from the federal government for the services that they perform. So abortion is big money. Yeah. Abortion is an industry. I know they like to hide behind pithy slayings about healthcare.
I want to correct one thing. Sure. They receive over $564 million, $500 million.
That's right.
Is going to them. And that's not even counting stuff that gets to them. That's just through Title X.
That's right.
I mean, that is just a scary number. And so I loved reading the Democrat platform this year for candidates in the state of New Mexico. One of the most prominent things in that document is that they want to make sure there's not undue influence from special interest. Yet you're laughing because you know Planned Parenthood has invested millions of dollars in Democrat candidates in this state.
That's right. This election, in fact, they were, you know, the one thing about Planned Parenthood that I have to hand it to them is they're pretty straightforward in what their political plans are. And they announced long before we were in the trenches of election season, that they were wanting to flip the U.S. Senate this year. So they were going to invest millions and millions of dollars in defeating pro-life senators across the country. But also they are pouring tens of thousands of dollars into the campaign coffers of local politicians here who are running for the state legislature, including the House and the Senate, because they know what's at risk here. And again, this is going to be something that I'll be putting out in my email this week. So again, some of you will see this in the email, but they acknowledge, they understand what's at risk here in New Mexico. A lot of people don't understand the complexities of the abortion issue, especially assuming there's an overturning of Roe v. Wade. We still have an abortion law on our books that predates Roe, that is currently not enforceable because of Roe. But if Roe is overturned, that law will come back into effect. And that's why there is this concerted effort by the governor and pro-abortion politicians to repeal that law, because they understand, especially with the recent appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, that there is a legitimate shot. In fact, I would say that we are closer to overturning or undermining at the very least Roe v. Wade than we have ever been before. And so they understand it. And so the only way for them to get around that is to put the political pawns in place to make sure that if Roe is overturned, that it really means nothing for New Mexico.
Yeah. You mentioned that there's a number of Democrats on your list that are pro-life candidates. And that, I would say, in light of where we are today and the culture, that takes a tremendous amount of courage, because they're kicking against the goads, so to speak.
That's right. I don't think it's all that difficult to be pro-life. It is very difficult to be a pro-life Democrat, and especially a pro-life Democrat elected official here in New Mexico. I mean, we saw we had 8 pro-life Democrats who crossed the aisle in 2019 to oppose efforts to codify abortion up to the moment of birth. One of them, you know, passed away, but 5 of the remaining 7 were subsequently defeated in this June primary. The progressive leaders and the abortion industry went after them and defeated them in their primaries. And so the fact that we still have a remnant of pro-life Democrats representing us in Santa Fe is something that's rare, and certainly not something that you see everywhere else in the country. There are other states in which there are, you know, good pockets of pro-life Democrats. I think of, you know, Louisiana, whose Democratic governor there is pro-life. But here in New Mexico, they're really a dying class, if you will, especially when it comes to representation in the legislature. And so my encouragement to many of my, you know, Democratic friends has been, it's that there needs to be an effort to pull some sanity back to the Democratic Party when it comes to the issue of abortion, because they've not simply said that, look, we want them to be safe, legal, and rare anymore. Really what they're fighting for is they want them to happen as much as possible. You know, and if you look at the Democratic Party's platform that was adopted this year by the DNC, it's the most pro-abortion platform that we've ever seen. And I'm not being partisan in stating that. You can go read it for yourself. They talk about restoring funding to Planned Parenthood. They talk about potentially removing conscience protections for medical professionals and healthcare providers. They talk about elective, you know, abortion, unrestricted, again, up to the moment of birth, that sort of thing. So again, it's not political. It's just simply stating what is very obvious, and that's that the DNC of today is certainly not the DNC of even 30 or 40 years ago.
Well, Vince, let's talk about some of the specifics you just brought up. For example, when you talk about conscience, you're really talking about violating a person's own civil rights because of what they may believe as a person of faith. For example, a doctor, they may be pro-life. They may be against abortion, but they can be ordered in some cases now because of the law to actually perform abortions.
Yeah, the conscience protections that exist in federal law and quite frankly, even in state law here in New Mexico exist for a reason. And these are not solutions in search of a problem. They exist because there have been instances, as you just referenced, in which you've had medical professionals forced to participate in procedures that violated their conscience. There was a nurse who was forced to perform an abortion. There have been situations like that have taken place throughout the country, and that's why we want to continue to preserve the conscience protections that aren't just available through law, but quite frankly affirmed in our First Amendment. That a person who, you know, has a deeply held religious or moral belief that abortion is wrong should not be forced to participate in any sort of procedure. That's something that we want to make sure stays in place.
Well, and of course, life issue is a lot different than making a cake. But we had before the state or the national Supreme Court, the federal Supreme Court, that a gentleman who would not make a cake for a married couple that was gay. He would not make their wedding cake. He was really persecuted in a way that I've never fathomed. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And of course, he was acquitted because of his religious beliefs. He was told he did not have to make that cake, and it wasn't hate; it was just his personal convictions.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things that happened, and this is more recent, you can Google the story, but there was actually a lesbian cake maker or baker, and they had a religious fundamentalist come in and request a cake with some very derogatory messaging about the LGBT lifestyle. And that baker, too, refused to provide that particular service to this individual. And some folks came to me and said, well, do you think, you know, that was acceptable for her to turn it down? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. This has never been about one religion or one belief system over another. It's a expression issue. And we believe that the freedom of expression that's guaranteed to us in the Constitution not only protects us from being forced to say something, but also obviously keeping us from saying the things that we believe.
We are with Vince Torres. He is the executive director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. He's also a pastor up in Santa Fe, a lobbyist. He's got about 25 hours a day worth of work to do. So we've got a lot more to talk to Vince about. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hey, New Mexico. Do you hear it? There's a steady drumbeat of news that points to the end times.
This week, Israel made a treaty with the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and this is in Bible prophecy.
The rushing wave of events leaves no doubt. The time is approaching with clock-like precision.
What happened this week is showing you that the Arabian Peninsula is shifting toward Israel, just the way the Bible says.
Do not miss this, and make sure your family knows.
He's going to come in mighty power. And he's going to set up his kingdom.
What's next now? That's the theme of a special weekend on KNKT coming October 3rd and 4th, when you'll hear the finest communicators take you through Bible prophecy, the rapture, and the second coming of Christ. Remember, nearly 30% of Scripture is about prophecy.
In the New Testament, it's taught in every book. And if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that Jesus Christ is coming back.
What's next now? Coming to KNKT in October, featuring a stellar lineup, including Billy Graham, Tony Evans, Skip Heitzig, David Jeremiah, hosted by Don Stewart, and including a special prophecy Q&A session with Scott Richards. You need to understand the plan.
Here's the picture. Here's the church. Here's the rapture. The church goes up to heaven. The church is in heaven. 7 years goes on this earth, which is called the tribulation. At the end of that 7 years, Jesus comes back, the Battle of Armageddon happens, and we have the kingdom age, which begins.
Okay, watch this now. Jesus Christ will set himself up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, he will come and rule.
What's next now? Presented by Water Extraction Experts. Over 10 hours of prophecy messages coming October 3rd and 4th to KNKT.
Jesus said, just before the end, the gospel will be preached for the first time in the whole world.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or their social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520. If you missed the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home virtual open house and barbecue fundraiser on August 22nd, you could still participate by watching the event online at acch4kids.org. The home was established to care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Although we have lots of love to give, providing care also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acch4kids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Vince Torres, Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico. Talk a little bit about your affiliation. You're actually affiliated with a couple of national ministries, aren't you?
Yeah, so we serve under our umbrella organization, which is National Family Policy Alliance. They do some wonderful work, but we are also part of an alliance of states, have over 40 family policy councils scattered throughout the country, and work closely with them as well as our friends at groups like Alliance Defending Freedom, the Heritage Foundation, good groups that, again, have offered, you know, throughout the years to come in to step in and to help us, especially with our advocacy and our lobbying, but also groups that we depend on to keep tabs on stuff that's happening outside of New Mexico. Because, as you know, we can be a little bit siloed sometimes here in what's happening here locally. But these groups help keep us formed on some of the bigger picture things that are happening that we need to be aware of.
Vince, I want to address something that you told me off air when we were praying together before the show started. And you started giving me a little history about Democrats and Republicans going back to the days of John F. Kennedy and Catholics that were involved in politics. And the division now between anybody that is a person of faith and somebody that's running on any issue is just, it's almost hatred out there. It's not the same as it used to be, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, I was participating in a webinar earlier with Dr. Al Mohler. Gives a great morning briefing. If you're not listening to Mohler's briefings in the morning, I'd encourage you to do that. He takes stuff that's happening nationally and conflates it to, you know, a 15 to 20 minute presentation. But one of the interesting things that Dr. Mohler was alluding to today was, you know, the differences between the two parties, the two major parties anyway, are much different today than they were, say, back in the 60s. And he talked about how if you were to take the Democratic platform of the 60s and the Republican platform of the 60s and lay them side by side, you would see that on some of these more hot topic issues, there was a lot of crossover. There were similar positions that were being held. There were differences of opinion as to how to actually address them or to accomplish whatever it was. But there was a lot of, you know, consensus around what marriage was, and smaller government was a good thing. Limited government was a good thing. There was consensus for many years about abortion and the sanctity of human life. But fast forward to 2020. And if you take the two platforms and you set them side by side and compare them, to your point, it's really, really a fundamental difference as to the direction of our country, but also a fundamental difference when it relates to issues related to morality and righteousness, and certainly things that we see in Scripture. So again, the parties are very different today than, say, they were just even, you know, 60 years ago.
Vince, I know that you have to be a very gracious person in what you say, but you don't ever sugarcoat things. You tell people your positions, but I think, at least I know, in what I've heard you say, you're always loving and kind in what you say. So I want to ask you about the pro-choice rhetoric. If somebody were to come up to you and say, you're trying to deny a woman's right to health care, how would you address that?
I would probably ask them to clarify how terminating a child is health care. I'd ask them to explain to me how an abortion is health care. And again, that's one of the things that the pro-abortion community does so well, is they have these little slogans and pithy sayings that they will use. And most people will just grab a hold of them because on face value, they sound good. In fact, that's one of the talking points right now of the local Planned Parenthood when they lobby in Santa Fe, is that abortion is health care. And the question that I always pose to them, if they'll engage in some, you know, conversation with me, is what is an abortion treating? If it's health care, what is it treating? And of course, they can't answer that because abortion isn't health care. It's not treating anything. And so I think those sorts of conversations, avoiding using their language and getting to some of the specifics of, if you believe it's healthcare, then explain to me, how is it healthcare? What is it treating?
Here's another one. A woman has a right to choose what happens to her own body.
Yeah, this is another one that we only accept that in this situation. We would never take that and apply it to, say, prostitution, drug use, a person who tries to self-inflict harm on themselves. Last time I checked, we still prevent that from happening. Last time I checked, prostitution is still illegal. You can get arrested for that. Last time I checked, alcohol use, drug abuse is still illegal. We can tell you, you can't do that to your body. So again, this is the only situation in which we will actually make that argument, and people will try to defend it, is when it comes to a woman terminating another body. And that's the other problem with that statement. is you can't tell a woman what to do with her body. We're talking about two bodies. We're talking about two individuals. We're talking about two persons. And one of the things that our law does say is that you can't harm another person. So again, it's something that they'll grab a hold and they'll throw around, but it's one of those issues that we have to then challenge them on to say, number one, we're talking about another body. And number two, this doesn't fly anywhere else.
Vince, I've had a couple of your friends, Stephanie Luke and Lori from CareNet.
Heroes.
Have come on a couple of times, and they have a vehicle that they park outside of a late-term abortion clinic. And I've personally talked to a couple of people that are pro-choice, and they've told me, oh, you guys are making a big deal out of late-term abortions. Those don't really happen very much. And Stephanie and Lori will tell you that they do, in fact, happen very frequently.
Every day.
On a weekly basis. Yeah, and it's just scary. And here's the thing that was most – the soundbite that I got from Lori and Stephanie that they've mentioned several times on this program is that one of the things that they do is they have a vehicle that they park outside the abortion clinic, and they train people how to be compassionate and loving. They don't shout at people. They don't coerce people. They just say, look, if you would like, we'd like to give you a free ultrasound just so you can see what your baby looks like. And, of course, they're acknowledging there is a baby inside of you, which they've also explained is not what the abortion clinic's going to be talking about. They're going to be, you know, terminating, you know, a pregnancy. They don't really want you to see the baby. They're not going to give you an ultrasound and let you look at it before the abortion. They're going to do one because it's medically required, but they're not going to show it to you. Here's the staggering thing. I think Stephanie told us this. 85% of the women that look at their ultrasound before they terminate that pregnancy decide not to terminate the pregnancy.
That's right.
And that's the technology you mentioned in the first half hour or first 15-minute segment, was that technology is really changing. It's not even a spiritual thing in some cases. It's the knowledge that there's this living, breathing human being inside of you is changing the opinions of people.
That's right. It's rare to find someone who has actually seen an ultrasound or listened to the heartbeat of a baby in the womb who would hold the position that that child should be able to be terminated right up through the ninth month. In fact, the great work that Stephanie and Lori and the folks at CareNet do, Patrick Garr is the chairman of the board. He's a good friend of mine. But they are the true pro-women, pro-information people out there. Because again, nothing that they do prevents the woman from still deciding to have an abortion. But what they do allow her to have is every piece of information needed to then make that decision, which is not what the Planned Parenthood clinic provides. To your point, they do the ultrasound, but they hide it. Why do they have to hide it?
Yeah.
If it's not a baby, if it's a clump of cells, if it's tissue, why do they hide it from the women? It's because they know that statistic that you just said, that when a woman looks at that, or when a male who is with her looks at that, they're not going to say that's a clump of cells. They're going to say that's a baby. When they hear the heartbeat, they're going to say that's a human life. And so the great work that CareNet do, I'll simply plug this. If you don't donate to CareNet, go to their website today and set up a recurring donation. When you give to them, you are legitimately saving lives. You are saving lives. So if you don't give to CareNet in Albuquerque or Santa Fe or wherever you live, go to their website, set up a monthly recurring gift, help them out. I know our centers have been hit hard because of the COVID pandemic. Many of them have not been able to do the large fundraising banquets that we're accustomed to having. So get online and help them. You're helping save lives. You're helping protect women. You are giving families a second chance at life, if you will.
I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm a retired banker, so I'm going to take a shot at. We gave some staggering numbers earlier about the amount of money that Planned Parenthood has in their coffers, what kind of assets they've developed as a, quote, nonprofit organization. We've also, we can estimate what they charge for an abortion, which is probably close to $15,000. Is any program that you endorse, Family Policy Alliance, like CareNet, or Right to Life Committee, making a lot of money when they talk a woman into not terminating her pregnancy?
They don't make money. I mean, these are locally supported groups who are supported by donations. They're not on the bankrolls for the federal government.
So Vince, remember we were talking about the love of money?
Mm-hmm.
What's the motivation for you then is it really just life itself?
It's life. It's life. It is life. And that's why I have always said that, you know, being pro-life is actually one of the most selfless positions that you can hold, because it's genuinely not about you. I don't get anything from my pro-life position, really. It's genuinely about another person. In this case, millions and millions and millions of other people. The Planned Parenthood and their lobbyists, their industry, their political action committees, there's millions, billions of dollars in there for them. Our care nets literally operate year over year. All of their services are free. A woman who walks into a care net in need of information, even that ultrasound, is not going to pay anything. And that's where people like you and I step in, and we contribute to make that possible. But they're not in it for the money. I know you and I are not in it for the money. We're in it because it's the right thing to do. And we're in it because the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 31 that we have a responsibility to speak up for the destitute, for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's why we do it.
Amen. Vince Torres, Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, in studio with me. And I love all the sound bites you just gave us in that segment, Vince. Our listeners are going to be able to take a lot of the things that you just told us in response to some of the rhetoric used by the pro-choice movement. And really, hopefully, you'll use that lovingly, not like a club, but use it lovingly and address the issue, and just see if you might, Holy Spirit might just use you to change somebody's heart. We're going to be back with Vince to talk about parental rights, education, and religious freedom. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Quality experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
Dom has been my property manager. He provided me with renters, and I trust Dominic's judgment, and I have not been disappointed at all. I would say that Dom Garcia is a highly reputable person. He has provided me with services to my expectations and beyond. He is a marvelous manager, a very nice person, and he considers not only me as the owner of a property to be rented, but the renters. I appreciate what he does for everyone.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
To a patient with High Desert Hospice, something as simple as a caring touch, a smile, a prayer, or even just physical presence can bring comfort beyond measure.
I offer caring, comfort, and support to patients and families at a very trying time in their lives. Making a difference is a wonderful blessing, both to them and to me.
Discover just how easy and fulfilling volunteering with High Desert Hospice can be. Go to highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care, and click on volunteer.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or
505-884-8584. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Bench Torres in studio, Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, trying to educate us about all the different issues going on and where the candidates stand. He has a website, thefamilypolicyalliance.com. Tell us a little bit more about here in the next few days. You're going to release something about the pro-life candidates, both Democrat, Republican, and Libertarian.
Yes, we will have that information out hopefully by the end of this week. We'll be following that up in the next week or so with just some voter resources, some guides that we didn't put together, but other allied organizations put together that will allow you to compare candidates' positions on issues that I'm sure matter to you. We'll also have a nice little comparison guide made available by another great organization that compares the two-party platforms. And again, the intent here is just to provide as much voter information and education as possible, especially as we enter the final stretch of the election. Very important election, again, not just at the federal level, but what's happening right here in New Mexico is just as critical. And so we'll continue to make that information available. The best way to access that as soon as it's released is to join our email list. So if you're not on our email list, again, go to familypolicyalliance.com, sign up to get our alerts, and that information will drop right into your inbox on a weekly basis.
That's really cool during the legislative session, too, because you send out things that if people want to get the word out to their particular legislator, they click on it, and it sends them a note in their name, and that technology is something you guys have on your website.
Yeah, our Action Center is actually one of the more important tools that we will utilize, not only during the legislative session, but even during the interim. In fact, there's an active action alert right now. If you go to our Action Center, urging Senators Udall and Heinrich to confirm Amy Coney Barrett. And you may say, oh, that's a stretch. Neither of them is going to support her. But it's not about that. It's about making your voice heard. It's about letting our politicians and elected officials know where we stand on the issues. And again, to your point, during the legislative session, it's particularly important because again, you have, you know, legislators from all over the state. The nice thing about the tool is when you put your name and address in there, it doesn't send an email to every single one of them. It sends it to your state senator. It sends it to your state representative. So it's coming from someone in their district, which is someone who used to work in the legislature. I can tell you a message, an email, a fax, a letter, a phone call from your district is significantly more impactful than just getting bombarded with junk emails, which tend to flood in as well.
It's interesting that Udall and Heinrich have their own personal positions on this, on the life matters, right to life matters. But what's interesting is we have a very large faith population. We have a large Catholic,
yes,
pro-life contingent all throughout New Mexico. Ethnically, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of white people, a lot of blacks. We have a large evangelical presence in New Mexico, largely pro-life. So if these Christians would send emails and use the tools on your website, your representatives, regardless of their positions, are going to end up telling them how their constituents feel.
That's and right.
Does that ever have the, if they were overwhelmed with those kind of emails, would they have to change the way they vote?
I'll share one quick story, and this is a true story. It came to me from a staffer at the legislature. But during the heated debate on the abortion bill in 2019, House Bill 51, as the bill made its way over to the Senate, we didn't know where the votes were going to lie. We knew we needed crossover support from the Democratic Party. Every day we were counting votes, trying to figure out what we needed to get to a place where we could defeat the bill. And you all probably know the story by now. We had 8 Democrats cross the aisle. One of the staffers for one of those Democrats who crossed the aisle, I ran into at an event weeks after we had defeated the bill. And that individual shared with me that this particular senator was particularly conflicted on the issue. That though he was, you know, personally pro-life, he wasn't sure how he was going to vote. And he instructed his staff to keep a tally of the number of phone calls that were coming in, the number of emails that were being received, faxes, letters on this specific bill. And at the end of the day, the number of contacts from the pro-life side outnumbered in a pretty large number, those contacts from the pro-abortion folks. And the staffer said that was a big reason why he voted the way that he did. And so if you think that these phone calls don't matter, these emails don't matter, these letters don't matter, there are situations in which you do have some of our officials who are genuinely undecided on some of these issues. And that email from our Action Center, that phone call from our Action Center, that letter, that fax can make a difference. So again, as we send those action alerts out, please respond. They make a big difference.
And Vince, I want to talk now about all the questions I frame for you now are really referencing children that are under 18 years old. I don't think that necessarily we would agree with lifestyles with people that are adults and make their own decisions. But we're concerned about as parents. You have two children?
I do.
I have five. Mine are grown up. Enjoy that while it lasts, by the way, because it doesn't last very long. They grow up really, really fast. I want to ask you about things like the transgender rights movement and how parental rights are being stripped when it comes to, say, a 14 or 15-year-old child that feels like they are transgender.
Well, I think it's much more than just that specific situation. It's healthcare in general. You know, it's healthcare and it's education. And we have seen a concerted effort year after year for the government to step in and basically try to convince parents that they know better when it comes to raising our children than we do. And slowly over time, we've seen them begin to take more and more and more of our decisions. In fact, some of this has even, you know, been exposed recently through the whole COVID pandemic and online education, where you've had teachers complaining about parents actually being in the room, you know, or administrators, or in some cases, school districts telling parents, you can't be in the room when your child is doing their online classwork. It's absolutely ridiculous, which then poses the question, well, what's being taught that you don't want me to know about? And we've had stories. We've had parents walk into the room and suddenly they're hearing their teachers, you know, sharing, you know, progressive propaganda and all sorts of garbage. And it's been documented. But when it comes to healthcare, I think one of the concerns that we see is again, an attack against parental rights, which is again, the government and the healthcare industry stepping in and saying, we're going to allow your child to make this decision. Or in some cases, we're going to encourage them the way that we want them to make a decision. And we've had cases, even recently where, you know, parents have lost custody. They've had their custody stripped, from their children for not going along with something that the child wants to do. But the government says, yeah, you should let them do that. And it's unfortunate, and it's something that parents need to be aware of.
And I don't think parents are even aware that some of these things are happening. I wasn't aware that, for example, right now, a child, say, under 18 years old can go to a school nurse and actually get birth control without the parent's permission.
That's right. And not only that, that school nurse, if that young child were to be pregnant, can also take that young girl for an abortion. Without her parents even being notified, much less give consent. And I think you and I have talked about this before. If my daughter wants to go on a field trip to the Natural History Museum, I have to sign two or three pieces of paper. If my daughter wants an aspirin at school, I have to sign two or three pieces of paper. I have to consent to that. But the idea that my daughter would be pregnant and be taken for an abortion and I'm not even notified that it happened, is something that's already in place.
Are there candidates that are against that type of thing happening?
Absolutely. I mean, we've tried to pass parental, there, years back, we tried to pass parental consent, laws for, minors who sought abortions. That got killed year over year. 2 years ago, I believe it was, we finally just went with notification and said, look, can we just let mom and dad know that their minor child is going to get an abortion? It's important much more than just allowing the parents to potentially be able to talk to that child. But as we've seen now through the movie Unplanned, abortions are not pretty procedures. They're not at times without complications. And the idea that my minor daughter would be at home having undergone an invasive medical procedure and in need of additional care after that, but I don't know about it. And Lord forbid something happens to my daughter and she begins to bleed or to experience complications, but I don't even know that she had a procedure. That's extremely problematic. But all that to say, we tried to run with a parental notification bill. It was killed in its first committee where the progressive leaders in the legislature send the bills to die. And the idea there was that we couldn't legislate relationships was one of the arguments against the bill. That if a minor child wants something and they need to get it, we can't be putting parents as a barrier between that decision. Again, another area where it only seems to abortion, because we don't seem to apply that to these other areas of medication and other procedures, any other medical procedure for that matter. But when it comes to an abortion, the argument from the radical progressive pro-abortion legislators was we can't be having parents as this barrier between a young child and an abortion.
One of the things that's been pointed out to me by various sources, including CareNet, Right to Life Committee, and you guys, is that it's actually against the law for you to, even as a parent, to try to get your child to have an abortion. It's against the law for you to force them into that. So what's really supposed to happen is they're supposed to be with a healthcare provider that'll give them all of the opinions, all of the information. I know I've had four knee surgeries. That's why I walk like Herman Munster now. But I had all kinds of opinions. You know, you have x-rays, you have MRIs, you have scopes, you have all these different things. And I know they do things differently now. But I got all the information. And then they said, this is what we think is best for you. But that's not what they do on the abortion side.
No, I think one of the things that we've learned from the great work of Abby Johnson's documentary, you know, and the movie Unplanned, and some of the truth that she has exposed having worked in the industry was, again, this is a financial transaction, you know, and there are situations, again, it's not just Abby, it's other Planned Parenthood workers who would very much sell abortions the same way that I used to sell cars when I was a car salesman. And the language of, look, if you do this today, I can get you another $2,000 off the price, but that deal is only good for the next hour. You walk out of here, we're going to have to start all over again type thing. And that's the sort of bartering, that's the sort of manipulation, and that's the sort of sale tactics that are employed by Planned Parenthood and their workers. They want to get women in there. They want to get them in there. They want to get them scheduled for that abortion procedure, no matter what type they, you know, employ. And they want to get in as many as possible. And on top of it, just like me when I was a car salesman, I want repeat customers. So they want women to be in there 3, 4, 5 times. And sadly, that's one of the other statistics, is we know that if a woman has an abortion, she is significantly more likely not just to have 2, but 3 and 4. And that's exactly what the abortion industry wants, because with each abortion, there's thousands of dollars there. They're not clients. They're customers.
Yeah. One of the things I've appreciated about you and some of the other, the Right to Life Committee and CareNet, is that you all talk very graciously about people that have had abortions and perfectly willing to provide services, because you mentioned some physical complications, but it's just now coming to light medically, the psychological scars, the spiritual scars that that can cause. And I know, talking with Stephanie Luke, who's the executive director of CareNet here in Albuquerque, she had an abortion. Her personal testimony is phenomenal about how difficult that was for her and why she now likes to pour her life into people to encourage them that have had abortions.
That's right. You know, statistically, we know that 1 in 4 women have had an abortion, is what statistics tell us. That means, you know, pastors listening, women's ministries leaders listening, Christians listening. These women are all around us. They're sitting next to us in church. They are with us. They are friends of ours. And that's where the life-giving message of the gospel is so important, because to your point, we now know that there is an emotional cost. There is an emotional toll. And like you, I have good friends of mine who have had abortions and who have lived to tell me the emotional toll and harm that's been done to them, in some cases now 30, 40, even 50 years later, and they're still going through that. And that's where it's beautiful for us as the church to come alongside these women, just like we would men, just like we would with any other sinner, including ourselves, to say that the message of the cross is that God forgives you, that God loves you, and with repentance and with asking for forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, there is love. And that's one of the messages that we always give at our church, because we do Sanctity of Life Sunday every year. We participate with churches across the nation. But the message is always twofold. The message is, this is not okay, but just like all of these other things that are not okay that we do anyway, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took all of that upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin, so that you, so that I might become the righteousness of God, that there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. And by the way, it's where each and every one of us is.
Absolutely. We'll end that segment with a big amen. One more segment with Vince Torres. This time we're going to talk about education. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The church is commanded to make disciples of all nations, not to simply take the gospel worldwide to create converts who are never taught to lead others to Christ. The Great Mission on Star 88 and KNKT features people who are changing lives with the gospel and making disciples around the globe. The Lamar family, operating the Faith, Love, and Hope Kids Ranch in the Philippines, is a wonderful example.
Challenges we face are nothing compared to what other missionaries face in other countries. I'm even ashamed to mention it. The most challenging issue with the culture is they copy everything America does. There isn't much of the true Filipino culture left anymore. They have been Americanized. Where we live in the province, you can still find a bit of culture left. I'm trying to keep it alive as long as I can through the children.
Support this work of eternal value. Visit The Great Mission at star88.fm and knkt.com.
Join Sheology for Chasing Vultures, a free four-week Bible study starting Tuesday, October 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Calvary Osuna campus. Learn how to recognize things that eat away at your faith, like doubt, delay, dismay, and darkness. After the teaching each week, enjoy The Discussion Thing, a time of small group discussion based on the weekly discussion guide. Food trucks and a market featuring local vendors will be set up in the amphitheater, so come early to eat, shop, and fellowship. There's no cost to register or attend. However, space is limited. Register at calvarynm.church.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Yesterday I had Ali Eninga on the show, and she was talking about Common Core. She has her master's degree in education. She's running for the state legislature. And she has a real concern about New Mexico continuing to be number 50 in education in the country. Now, I want to qualify this question, Vince, because you and I both know a lot of teachers that are just amazing. They love their students. They invest in their students. They are constantly even spending their own financial resources to provide things for their students, and just not just teaching them, but mentoring them and loving on them and all of these different things. So, Vince, I ask you, why are we struggling in education in this state? Does it have to do with this Common Core curriculum?
The education challenges even predate Common Core. Certainly there are some legitimate concerns about Common Core, and I understand the intent behind it. You know, the idea was to have a common set of standards, you know, state over state, so that we were able to basically measure student performance and make sure that we were preparing them, that whether they stayed in state for college or went to another state, that they were, you know, performing at a certain level. So I understand the reason for it. I also understand the pushback against some of it. To your point, Jim, I married a teacher. My wife stays home now, and she's, you know, homeschooling our daughter this year with all the uncertainties around COVID. But I married an educator. I have educators in my family. I loved my teachers growing up. I went to Pewaukee Elementary, Middle, and High School, went to Calvary Christian Academy in Santa Fe, had wonderful teachers. And to your point, there are great teachers out there. But I think when we talk about New Mexico's systemic problems, when it comes to education, I'll just be very honest with you. I blame our government. I do think this is something where we can look to our leadership and say, we simply have not done enough and we have not done what's right. In fact, year over year, it seems like our solution, no matter what the problem is to simply keep throwing more money at it and hope that in some cases it finally sticks. And every once in a while, we'll see a bump in certain performances, whether it be our Hispanic community will start to, you know, achieve at a higher level than the year before. But we still, year over year, find ourselves at the bottom of the list. And I think it's because we do have systemic problems that we keep trying to bandage over with money, when really we need to get to the root of the wound and acknowledge that this is yet another area in our state that needs surgery. We need to get to the bottom of what's actually happening. And for me, this is not always a popular opinion to hold, especially with the teachers' unions and in public education. But I have always said that until New Mexico offers parents and students more choices in education, we're going to continue to be at the bottom of the list. Until parents have the ability to start taking their children, and rather than being forced to re-enroll that child in a failing school year over year and put them in a place where they can succeed, we're going to continue just to see this happening every year.
So school choice is a big one.
And I believe so.
And I think that creates competition. Here's the interesting thing to me is I'm one of those people. I don't believe that everything is new and improved For example, I've watched and studied basketball coaches around this country, NBA level, college level, high school level, and I see different coaches that are successful, combining X's and O's, different drills, but when you really analyze it, there's nothing new. They just have different combinations and different emphasis, and they don't teach 12 players or 15 players the same way because they're each different. They have different athletic abilities. They have different intellectual capacities. They have different emotional makeups. So I can only imagine that that's exactly how you have to adapt to be a professional educator. For example, in the Albuquerque Public Schools proper, 69.6% graduation rate in high school. But here's the funny thing. Early College Academy Charter School, 90.6%. Well, that's an APS school. Early, you have the College and Career at, on the campus of C&M, 97.3% of the kids graduate. Hope Christian School, 98%. I know the Academy. I've not been able to track down this, but I know they're graduating more than that. I mean, so there's people right here in Albuquerque that are doing this really successfully. And I know that there's cultural barriers and there's economic issues, but it seems like we just keep depending. This is literally the definition of insanity. We are number 50 in the United States of America in education, and that needs to change.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And you know, you talk about addressing the different needs that are out there. That's one of the great things that school choice does. And in states that have some form of school choice, whether it's an ESA, an education savings account, a voucher, some sort of scholarship program, there are story after story of children who were not succeeding in one particular area, but their parents were able to go and to take them to another school that was consistent with their needs, and the great stories of them suddenly just flourishing and coming into their own and going on to do great things. In fact, it's interesting. I remember that when my former boss, John Sanchez, who was our previous lieutenant governor, when he first ran for the House way back in 2000, he was one of the legislators that first started, you know, promoting this idea of school choice. Because again, this isn't a 2020 problem. This is a problem that's been around as long as I've been alive. And to your point, we just keep on doing the same thing, expecting somehow that the results are going to change. And to those who say, well, we underfund education, let me just put that to rest and say that's not true. We do not underfund education here in New Mexico. In fact, if you look at what we spend per student and compare it with our neighboring states, which, by the way, kick our tail every year in performance, we spend more than they do. And we spend a significant amount of our general fund budget each and every year. I think it's almost 50% now is going to education. So it's not a money problem. And it's also not a student problem in that regard. I think that our students are bright. I think they are wonderful. I think they can compete with anyone else out there across the country. But really what I do see is a bureaucratic problem. And quite frankly, it's a bureaucracy that has long existed and been all too acceptable with just the status quo, which unfortunately for us is being last.
How can this upcoming election change some of this?
It's another issue. You know, we talked about earlier about the life issue being at the top, but education for me is a life issue as well. You know, family issues are life issues. And so again, I think this is where we can take some of the pushback we get sometimes from the folks on the other side who say, well, you don't care after the child, after they're born. Well, that's not true. We do care, and we want them to have a healthy family, and we want them to have a great education. And that's where I think getting behind candidates who are willing to step outside of the box and say, we need to do things differently. We need to be more strategic about education policy. We need to look at reforming our system from the inside out, because again, we cannot keep spinning our wheels and expecting somehow to get some different outcome. So education is another important policy to look at. Where do the candidates stand? Are they status quo legislators? In other words, look, what we're doing, we don't see a problem with it. You know, we think everything's fine. Those people need to go. The ones who are willing to step in and say, you know what, this has been going on too long, we're fed up, we need to change things, that's what's on the ballot as well.
And how important is it for people to get registered to vote?
very important, especially because online voter registration wraps up this next week. So if you're not registered to vote, go to the Secretary of State's website. If you want some assistance in walking through that, go to our familypolicyalliance.com. You can register to vote through our system. It'll get you a ton of information, let you know exactly what's happening.
Vince Torres, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.